Well, happy Mother's Day. I think moms do have a special way of looking at the world. And as I said before, I mean, I probably wouldn't be a pastor, be in the church, maybe even be a Christian if it wasn't for my mom, a mom who had sincere faith and trained me up in the way I should go. And so I want to thank you, all you moms, sincerely. And I think what they said in the video is so true. And so thank you for putting up with your kids and training your kids and loving your kids the way you do. It means a lot, and you instill the faith of God in them. And so if there's one thing that I've learned about moms, it's that you all can feel scattered. And I know this because I have Fridays off, and my wife works Fridays, and so I get the pleasure and joy of watching my kids every Friday by myself, except I don't have the handy-dandy mom goggles. I just got to go after it, you know, in my own way. And they've all survived so far every Friday, so we're doing all right. But it can be crazy. I saw a Mother's Day card this past week, and I didn't get it, but I saw it, and I thought it was cute. But the kids were getting their mom something, and they said, Mom, we hired some people to take your place so that you could have the day off. Since it's Mother's Day. And of course, there was like a doctor and a nurse and a school teacher and like a housemaid, you know, and like all these people to take care of the kids, you know, like 20 of them. And moms just do so much. And what happens when you do so much is you can just end up feeling scattered. And starting this week, for the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about how we all feel scattered in our lives. And how God can bring order and focus to our lives. Because the Bible says God is a God of order. And God is a God of peace, okay? And so he doesn't want us to be scattered. And I think we all can struggle with being scattered. And just so we're all on the same page, I want to talk about, real quick here at the beginning, what does it mean to be scattered? Well, the definition of scattered is disorganized or distracted, okay? And so I think we can all feel disorganized or a little distracted in different areas of our lives at different... Hold on one second. Sorry, got a text here. I love it. It's awesome. It's one of my friends sends me these. They're like cat facts. And it's just amazing. Like, you wouldn't believe. Do you know a cat has like over 510... Has 510... skeletal muscles in its body. That's amazing. I love cats, you know? Anybody else like cats? I think we got, look at this. Have you ever seen anything like this? Look at that. How cute is that? Cause mischief? Yes. No. Maybe. Yes. You know? Look how cute that is. Wow. I think we have another one. Check. Look, cats are just so cute. Look at this. Okay, internet. I have a cute cat. Time for you to make me famous. Oh, isn't that cute? Look at that. But hey, I know for us guys, some of you guys are like, I'm not into cute. Cats are warriors. Like, we used to have a barn cat, and like, we had no mice. And they hunt mice. And I mean, they're just like ninjas. They're like the ninja of the animal world. So even us guys can like cats. Check this out. Yeah. It's amazing. Cats are amazing. Isn't that amazing? I'm just kidding. I really don't like cats. I really don't. I can't stand them. Okay, I take it back. Look how cute. Cats are amazing. Isn't that awesome? What were we talking about again? Oh, scattered. My bad. Scattered. You know, in a world where we have all the information of the world in our pocket. And not only that, but every person you've ever known in your life, if they're on Facebook, they have the ability to contact you. And when they do, you get a little vibration or a little ping, and you just feel this. It's like Pavlov's dog, like, time to eat, time to look at my phone. Like, and you have to do it. In that kind of world, it's a little easy to feel a little bit scattered. All right. And it can get us distracted. Now, you may be a person here who's like, hey, I'm not on Facebook. All right. I just don't get scattered. Okay. And so I don't know if this series is going to apply to me. Well, I just want to do a little participation. All right. And I just want to make sure we're all on the same page of what we're talking about here. Okay. And so I'm going to ask a few questions. I got like the top five you might be scattered if experiences, okay? And so as we go through this, if you've done this, if you've done one of these things, I just want you to be honest and just kind of raise your hand, okay? And if you know the person sitting next to you is not being honest, you feel free to give them a little jab in the side, okay? All right, so number five, you might be scattered if you've ever missed an exit while driving. It's most people, all right? Now, some of you didn't raise your hands, all right? But what if most people did raise their hands, all right? But some of you guys, especially like, well, hey, I wasn't scattered. It's not like my wife and she was telling a story. It's like, I just didn't know where I was going. And so it's just an honest mistake. I just missed the exit. Okay, but then you get off on the next exit and you get back on and you're coming the other way. And how many of you have missed the exit again because you were talking or telling a story or checking your phone, right? You might be scattered if you've ever mixed an exit. All right, I'm glad we're being honest. It feels good to just get it out today. All right, you might be scattered if you've ever pulled out of your driveway on your day off and went the wrong way because you were driving to work, all right? Anybody? Yeah, a few of you, okay. A few less hands that time. All right, extra credit or bonus points, I mean, if you've ever woken up and gotten dressed for work and went the wrong way on your day off until you realized on your way to work you didn't have to go to work. And extra credit if you've ever answered the phone, your personal phone, like you answer your work phone. Hello, this is Erica. How may I help you? I know it's Erica. You're my wife, and I called you, and all right. Bonus points. All right. You might be scattered if you've ever went to meet your spouse with the kids, only to realize upon arriving that you forgot one of those kids at home. Anybody? Anybody? Oh, it's Mother's Day and none of the mothers are admitting what has taken place in their home. All right. Nobody. All right. All right. Any elbows? I see a few elbows going on. All right. Okay. Number two, you might be scattered if you've ever gotten up to go get something in the other room. And upon arriving in the other room, you've completely forgotten what you went to go get. Right. Yeah, that was most of us. That was most of us in here, right? And scientists say that memory is linked to like smell and taste. So in high school, when you take the test, they give you the little mints or something to chew on, you know. But I think memory is linked to pressure sensitivity on your rear end. Because what happened? You're like, why did I come in here? And you go back and you're like, oh. And as soon as you sit back down, oh, that's what it was, right? It's just boom, right back, right? Number one, you might be scattered if you've ever looked and looked for like 15 minutes for those stupid car keys, only to discover they were in your pocket the whole time. Anybody? Anybody? Or your hand. Or on the little key ring, right, where they're supposed to be, all right? Or in the ignition. You didn't take them out last night? All right. So as we went through that, how many of you have done at least one of those things? Let's everybody raise a hand who you've done at least one of those. Keep them up. That's most of us in here. That's awesome. All right. Now keep your hands up. How many of you did all of those things? Anybody? Okay. So just me and like two other people. All right. And so the rest of you are dismissed and me and a couple others, we're going to talk about being scattered this morning. So, right? No. Okay. So we've all been a little scattered at times, right? We can feel scattered. And what we're going to do through this series is we're going to talk about what it means to be scattered in the three biggest areas of our lives. We're going to talk about what it looks like for us to be scattered in our schedules, how we spend our time, what it looks like when we're scattered in our finances, how we spend our money. And we're going to talk about what it looks like when we're scattered in our relationships. When we're scattered in the way that we interact with people in our lives. And those are like the three biggest areas of our lives. And what I've experienced from the little things like losing the keys or whatever, missing an exit. When you're a little scattered, You get frustrated. It gets frustrating in life when you're scattered. And what I've discovered in my life is the times when I'm frustrated or I'm upset or I'm discouraged for a season in my life, not for just like a few hours, because we all have those days where for a few hours we feel that way. But when we're scattered, when we're discouraged, when we're frustrated for a season, what I've discovered, it's because I'm scattered in one of those three areas of my life. And so I really believe this is going to be a powerful series. And today we're going to talk about scattered schedules, how we spend our time. When you have a scattered schedule, you might do a lot, but you don't get a lot done. Anybody ever been there? You're just running around doing a lot of stuff, but yet you feel like you just don't get a lot done. But what we're going to talk about today and the next few weeks is when we're scattered in these areas of our lives, it's really just a symptom of something much deeper and something much more serious. And so we're going to look at that today, and we're going to talk about how that manifests itself in our scattered schedules. Something more serious can happen when we're scattered and when it manifests itself in how we spend our time, and it's this. We might do a lot of good in our lives, but completely miss out on God. And so we're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 10 today about a woman who is scattered and how she spent her time. She was scattered in her schedule. She had a scattered schedule. And as a result, she was really busy, but she wasn't getting anything done. She was doing a lot of good, but she was completely missing out on God. And she has a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus kind of does a course correction. And Jesus tells her how to unscatter her schedule. And I want to look at this, and I pray that this helps us today. It's in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38 through verse 42. And we're going to read through this, and I'll kind of explain what's going on, and you can read it on the screen or follow along in your Bibles. And I'll kind of explain a little bit as we're going through it. And then once we get through it, I'm just going to unpack it and talk about what God has for us today, okay? Starting in verse 38, it says this: as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, okay? Now, let me explain what's going on here real quick. Jesus and his disciples are traveling from town to town, as they often did. He's preaching and teaching. He's healing people. He's doing a lot of good, okay? And so he's got 12 disciples. There's Jesus, so that's 13. And a lot of times they would have an entourage of people who would follow them. So we could safely say there's probably about 20 people in this entourage, if not even upwards of maybe 50 people, just traveling with them, following them around. And so they come to this town, and this woman named Martha says, hey, come to my house. Y'all come to my house. And Jesus and his disciples relied on the kindness of people to provide for their needs. Like, they didn't work. This was their full-time job. And they just relied, they would go to a town and they would stay with someone the whole time they were in that area. And they just relied on those people to provide for them and to feed them and clothe them. And so that's what this woman has done. And we know from later in scripture that Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus were dear friends of Jesus. We don't know if this is the first time they met. Maybe this is the first time they met and they became good friends. But we know later on that when Lazarus passes away, you know that story from John 11, and they send Jesus word and they say, Jesus, the one you love is sick. And so they had a special place in Jesus's life. Jesus had contact with thousands of people. And yet he had his disciples, and then he had just a few others that he was friends with. And these were one of them. And it says she opens his home. Hey, come to my house. I'll provide for you. I'll take care of you guys while you're here. And so they do. And it says her sister sits at the Lord's feet. And so what happens is sometimes Jesus was tired when he would arrive, and he would just lay down and go to sleep, right? But apparently at this point, he gets to their house and he's like, hey, I'm up for some more teaching. Jesus was a storyteller. And so he's telling stories. He's preaching and teaching. And Mary's like, I can't miss this. I'm gonna sit at the Lord's feet and I'm going to listen. And so she's listening. And this is what happens. It says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Martha was distracted. She was scattered by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him. She came to Jesus and said and asked him, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by itself? Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. God, don't you care about me? I'm not getting any help. Jesus said to her in verse 41, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, if you grew up in church like I did, you've probably heard this story. It's a pretty famous story. Mary and Martha. And we all know we're supposed to be who? Mary, right? In fact, I think a few Mother's Days ago, I got my book, my mom a book, and it was titled something about, you know, Mary and Martha. And of course, the book is about let's be Mary and not Martha. Shame on Martha. And I think what happens a lot is Martha gets a bad rap in our church culture, right? Like, we think this is kind of like what used to happen to me when I was a kid in Sunday school. Like, I grew up going to church, and we had this thing called Sunday school. And it's kind of like a class for kids. And it wasn't during church. It was before church, because when church was going on, all the little kids had to be in the church. And so that's where I learned to really express myself creatively, and pencils would become airplanes, and I would draw pictures, and my dad would smack me on the back of the head, you know, and true story, you know, and just pay attention, you know, and, moms have a role and dads have a role. Okay. Let's just admit it. And so, you know, I would fall asleep, you know, amen. And I would fall asleep, and then the last song would come on, and I would jump up and be excited. But Sunday school was like class time for kids. And so I remember many a Sunday school getting reprimanded for not paying attention, right? And I remember one time one of our elders, kind of a real serious, scary elder, and he wasn't like scary, like mean. He was so serious all the time. It was just kind of scary. You know what I mean? One of those guys. And I wasn't paying attention. Me and one of my friends were messing around, and he pulled us out. And when you get pulled out of Sunday school, oh, buddy, all right? And this isn't public school, all right? We can use corporate punishment. You know what I'm saying? Back then, back in those days, we don't over and rest kids, so you guys can rest secure, okay? But back in those days, that's how we rolled. And so that's how they rolled. And so I was like, oh, no. And we go out. I was probably 10 years old, and he goes, he just looked at me real serious, man of few words. And he just goes, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to tell your father. That's all he had to say. You know, that's all he had to say. And we went back in and sat down, and I'm like, yes, Jesus. Love God. I love Jesus. Love God. Every answer. By the way, in church, if I ever do a quiz and you don't know, it's Jesus. All right. That's a safe answer. Okay. And so that's how we read this story a lot of times, all right? Mary was listening and paying attention. Shame on Martha. Martha, bad Martha, wasn't listening to Jesus' sermon, all right? Bad Martha. But here's what I think. I think if we were there, I think we would identify more with Martha than we would Mary. Let me give you an example. A few months ago, we've been trying to meet with a couple here at church about some really important church stuff. And we just couldn't get it together. And so finally, we were at church one morning, and I just looked at the husband. I was just like, dude, why don't you guys just come over after church, and we'll just meet at our house. Just come over, you know, and we'll talk about what we need to talk about. He's like, that sounds good, man. And so after church, you know, I'm mingling with everybody, talking and stuff, and then everybody's kind of dissipating, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we better get home, you know. And so I go to my wife, and I'm like, hey, we're having, you know, so-and-so over, because you know how we've been having that meeting, we can't get it, so we're having them over. And she goes, what? You invited them to our house? She goes, Aaron, our house is a wreck. Do you remember? There are dishes all over the kitchen. There is stuff all over the house. And I'm like, you know, it's dawning on me. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. What did I do? You know, and I'm just like, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. Let's go. And so we flew home, you know, drove the speed limit home, and we got there, and I go in, and we just like one of the youngest kid fell asleep, in the car, and we grabbed the two older kids, and we're like, all right, just pick up everything, start throwing it in mom and dad's room, and just shut the door, and just grab that stuff and throw it in the closets, right? And we're just going crazy and fixing everything and trying to clean the kitchen, and we were just going nuts. And my wife's like, go upstairs and clean your room. And I'm just like, honey, nobody's going to be upstairs. Let's focus here. Prioritize, you know. We're just like getting into an argument about how to clean the house, you know, like just put everything in our room and shut the door, you know. Why? Because when people come over, you want it to look nice. And you want to at least give the impression that you're somewhat hospitable people, all right? Now, imagine it's not just a friend. Imagine it's your pastor. Imagine as Jesus did sometimes, I just came up to you, invited myself over to your house, all right? You're going to feel a little more pressure when it's the pastor. Some of you are like, please don't do that, please. You have no idea. We could not clean it up. We couldn't shove it in a closet, all right? We gave mom the week off for Mother's Day, and it, you can tell, all right? Please don't do that. I'm not going to do that. But imagine it was me. How much more if it was Jesus? Your Lord and Savior, would you want it to look nice? Would you want there to be a nice meal? And so there would be a lot to do. And in their culture, you got to understand, there's no microwave. All right? It's not like, well, just throw in the, you know, the microwave lasagna that's really like tastes really good, like I made it, throw that in. They couldn't do that. I mean, they had to, when they said, you know, they killed the fattened calf and they baked the bread. We're talking hours and hours worth of work. We're talking like you have to crush the grain and you have to make the dough. Some of y'all are like, you can make dough? Like, yeah, yeah. And you make it and then you have to let it rise for like an hour. All right. And then you bake it for like another hour. I mean, this was a big deal. There was a lot of work to be done. And how many of you mothers can relate when there's a lot of work to be done and nobody's helping, it gets a little frustrating. You get a little frustrated. And that's where Martha was at. And so I think if we were there, we might identify a little more with Martha. And yet Jesus goes, no, 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 Martha. Sorry, I'm not. I mean, can you, her audacity? Jesus, tell her to help me. She's not helping. And Jesus goes, no, 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 I'm not going to tell her. And he rebukes Martha. Jesus identifies more with Mary. And why is that? And I think it's because Jesus knows what we need to know today. And that is sometimes the good in our lives is the enemy of God in our lives. Sometimes the good in our lives is the enemy of God in our lives. Think about this. What Martha was doing, was it blatantly sinful? Was it wrong? Is Jesus trying to teach us through this story, you know, if somebody wants to come over, don't even be hospitable. Just be yourself. Don't try to clean up. Feed them the microwave stuff that you feed your family most of the week, all right? Just don't even try to make it look like you know how to cook, all right? Because that's just wrong. We should all sell everything we have and give to the poor and not have any money and never be able to host anybody, right? Is that what he's saying? No. We're told later in Scripture that we should be hospitable, that we should take care of people, that we should host people and be kind and friendly and share with what we have. It's a good thing to be hospitable. But Martha had just gotten to the point where the good things in her life had become the enemy of God in her life. The good things in her life had distracted her from God's presence. God was there with her, and she didn't even have time to hang out with him because she was too busy doing a lot of other good things. You know what I've learned in my life? When Satan wants to make me ineffective in my faith, you know what he does? Let me tell you what he does not do. He doesn't really tempt me very much with these huge, ugly, blatantly sinful things. Because I think he knows I've gotten to a place in my faith where it's just not going to work. Like I've grown past that. I know the deception of that. And I'm just not going there. And I'm just not going to do that. And so for me, when he wants to make me ineffective in my faith, when he wants to separate me from Jesus, he doesn't come to me and go, you know, you should really cheat on your wife. You know, you really should. I'm just like, no, it's bogus. I'm never going to do that. He's never going to come to me and tempt me with being greedy and so greedy that I want so much more money that, you know what, I'm going to cheat on my taxes to get more money, right? It's just too obvious. He's just not going to do that. When Satan wants to make me ineffective, you know what he does? You know what I've found him doing a lot of times? Distracting me with good things. Oh man, opportunities. Oh, I could do this. People ask me to do this stuff all the time. Oh, I could. It would be awesome. People ask me to come play music at their weddings and they ask me to do all this stuff. And if I said yes to every single one of them, I would be so busy. I have so many opportunities to watch TV every day or to go do hobbies I enjoy. And that's what Satan uses in my life to distract me. Because when you're close to Jesus in your faith, first of all, you're secure in him. You're a more joyful person. You're loving life. But when you're close to Jesus, you start doing damage to darkness and you start helping other people get close to Jesus in your life. And so maybe, you know, Satan's first priority is to keep you from Jesus altogether. He doesn't want you to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And he will fight and fight and fight to stop that from happening. But if you accept Christ, there's nothing he can do about that once you've done that. Once you are Christ, he cannot snatch you out of Christ's hand. I mean, you are his and you're going to heaven. It's awesome. I mean, wow. And so if you're Christ, he's like, well, that battle's lost. But now I'm going to spend all my time and energy keeping this person from being really, really close to Christ, lest they experience all the blessings and joys of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, and just catch on fire for Jesus. And then a revival's going to start. And then it's going to go crazy. It's going to spread like wildfire. And so we just got to keep this guy from Jesus. And I just need to separate him as much as I can. Anybody experience that? And so if I can't defeat you, I'm going to distract you. If I can't take you out, I'm going to keep you out of the battle. And that's what he does. And I'm just saying in my life, what he uses is distraction with good things to keep me from being really, really close to Jesus. I wonder if any of you can relate to me and Martha, because Martha was experiencing the same thing. You see, Jesus, you know what he wanted for Martha? He just wanted to hang out with her. He just wanted to get to know her. And she was too busy trying to impress other people and running around, trying to make herself look good and keep up appearances, be a good hostess, do all these good things. And keep in mind, she's serving the Lord, serving the Lord, serving the Lord. It's convicting. Maybe you all don't have this experience, but I know as a pastor, I can get so busy serving the Lord that I forget to sit at the Lord's feet and just receive from him. And you know, we work from a place of rest. And so Jesus wants to fill us up and give us strength to do our work. And so the enemy will distract us and wear us out and burn us out because he wants to keep us from Jesus. You see, Martha's problem wasn't blatant sin. She was just distracted. She was scattered. And the good in her life had become the enemy of God in her life. You see, when we're scattered in our schedules, when we just have so much going on that we don't have time for Jesus, it's really a manifestation. It's really a symptom of a lot deeper issue. And that's this, that Jesus is not sitting on the throne of our hearts. Jesus is not our Lord. We all want Jesus to be our Savior, but sometimes we struggle with him being our Lord. How can you tell if Jesus is really your Lord? The word Lord means master. That when we come to faith, how do we come to faith? We confess that Jesus is Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. How can you tell if practically in the way you live your life, if Jesus is really your Lord? You want to know? Show me your calendar and show me your checkbook. Those two are the most blatant signs that will show if Jesus is really Lord of your life. We'll talk about the latter one next week. And you're all like, oh man, I'm busy next week. I'm, you know. Note to self, don't invite so-and-so next week like you were going to. Invite him. There's a reason Jesus talked about money more than almost any other issue. Okay? And it's going to, this is a very practical series, but it's going to be a very profound series. And I'll talk about that at the end today. But how can you tell if Jesus is really Lord? Show me your calendar and show me your checkbook. Because if you're so busy with good things that you don't have time for Jesus, then the good in your life has really become the enemy of God in your life. And so if Jesus is not Lord of your schedule, you will be scattered. You will be. And that's a promise from Jesus. In John 15:5, he said it this way. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. What's the fruit? Well, some of it, remember, is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You'll bear much fruit if you spend a lot of time with Jesus. And then he says this. He takes it to the extreme. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Now, what's he saying? That apart from him, like, we can't even get out of bed? We're just like in a coma? No, because there's billions of people on this planet who don't know Jesus, and they get up and they do a lot of good things every day, and they go to about their work every day, and a lot of them are very successful, and a lot of them are on, you know, Forbes 500, you know, list of wealthiest people, and very successful, and their schedules are actually very organized and ordered. But you see, if you don't know Jesus and you don't spend time with Jesus, you'll be very busy in your life, but your soul will be barren. You'll be busy, but you'll be barren. You might do a lot of stuff that's exciting for you in this life, but any mom can tell you this life is a vapor. And yesterday my kids were 3, and today they're 23, and tomorrow they're 33. And where did the time go? And one day we will reach the end of our lives and we'll be like, where did my life go? And why did I waste it on so many things that don't matter? When people get on their deathbed, they don't talk about how they wish they had spent more time doing fun things. I really wish I would have went skydiving. I just wish I had that experience. What do they talk about? Man, I wish I'd spent more time with my family, with my kids. Wish I'd known Christ better. I wish I'd done more for God. Why? Because those things are the things that will echo into eternity. And so, if we're not close to Jesus, and if our lives are so busy that we don't spend time with Jesus, we might do a lot of good, but we'll miss out on God. And we might be busy, but we'll be barren. And I don't know if you all are feeling this, but I feel this. I wrestle with this because Jesus is Lord of my heart. And I believe that in my heart of hearts. I really do. I mean, I believe that with all my heart. And yet sometimes I just drift. And sometimes I just get off course, and sometimes I just get distracted. And so several times a year, I just got to do course correction, you know, and just get focused back on Jesus and on the most important things. And so what can we do to unscatter our schedules and really to unscatter our hearts? Because your heart is determining what you spend your time on, and you will spend time on things that you care about. You will spend time on things that matter to you. And so how can we unscatter our hearts so that our schedules can kind of unscatter? Well, Jesus tells us in this passage, and I want to spend the rest of our time today talking about this. And the first thing is this. Realize that not everything is necessary. Realize not everything is necessary. Jesus says to Martha, 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 you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is necessary. He's reminding her, listen, all this big, extravagant meal you're trying to prepare, I appreciate that, but it's just not necessary. The NIV translation says it this way. He says, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are necessary, indeed only one. And so part of what he's saying is, maybe there's a way in your life to simplify some of the things that you have to do. And so she invited them. Listen, those guys got to get fed. There's got to be a meal that takes place. It just doesn't have to be this big, extravagant thing, you know? And I think really what was going on in Martha's heart was what happens in our hearts a lot of times is we create more work and more busyness in our lives trying to impress other people. Has anybody experienced this like I have? Like when we moved up to Michigan and we get up there and we had one child at that time, our little daughter, and we started attending a few kid birthday parties up there. And we realized people go all out for kid parties up there in Metro Detroit. Like, we're talking all out for a three-year-old. I mean, it was nuts. And we were just like, wow, I can't believe this. Well, what happened? Well, I still remember my daughter's My daughter's first three-year-old birthday party. It's her only three-year-old. It was our first birthday party for a three-year-old. And my wife's like, I got some ideas, and we're going to have it at the church, and we're going to go out in the woods and make this beautiful fairy princess thing. We're going to do all this, you know, and everybody's going to dress up, and you got to be like the evil guy, so dress up in a costume and come out and scare the little girls. And like, I'm like, wow, this is a lot of work, you know? And I'm like, at some point I had the thought, and I didn't tell my wife this, and I can tell a story because she's over there, so don't tell her. But no, seriously, I had a thought at some point. I'm like, who are we doing this for? Because the three-year-old is not going to remember this, all right? Or are we doing it for all the other moms? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, they're just such great parents. And so they can just be so impressed with how much we love our daughter, right? Anybody? Anybody ever tried to impress other people and make a little more work for yourselves and kind of burn yourself out doing that? Let me ask it to you this way, because a lot of you are good Christian people, and good Christian people have a problem sometimes with a two-letter word that we all need to put into our vocabulary for the sake of unscattering our hearts and making Jesus Lord. And I had to rebuke my mom and tell her this a few weeks ago. It's the word N-O, okay? The reason I had to rebuke my mom, I got to explain that because I don't want you to think I'm mean to my mama, because I'm not. I did it very gently. But our kids go over there all the time, you know? She doesn't know that word. You know what I'm saying? Grandma doesn't know that word. I mean, they get candy. My kids the next day are like, I got a bellyache. Well, I wonder why, you know? And they're dragging her downstairs to play. And finally, I just, you know, we were there one time and my kids are pulling on my mom. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to save her. She's got to learn, you know? I'm not going to be a helicopter son and just hover and bail her out every time, you know? And so they're dragging her. I just go, Mom, you need to learn this two-letter word. And then it dawned on me. I go, wait a second, what happened? You used to know it when I was a kid. You used to know it real well. You told me no all the time. You've forgotten. No, I'm not doing that, right? And what happens in our lives? A lot of good Christian people in this church, and people ask you to do things. Hey, can you dog sit for me? Hey, can you do this? Can you come help me at this event? Hey, you want to go out Saturday night? Hey, you want to? And what happens? You think to yourself, oh man, I am so busy. The last thing in the world I want to do is that. And I got all this going on, and if I'm not there, they probably won't notice. But I can't say no because I'm afraid of what they'll think about me, and I want them to be impressed with me, and I want them to think I'm a good person. And so, yeah, I can probably do that. Yeah, yeah, okay. All right, yes, 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 yes. And for the sake of impressing other people, we say yes, 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 yes. And before we know it, our schedules get way too full. And then we get burnt out. And we wonder why some of the most important things in life start falling off the table because we've said yes to so many things that we're not meant to say yes to. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says it this way. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. What it's saying there is, if you fear what other people think about you, it will be a trap for you. It will run you down. You know, the Bible says we're only supposed to fear one thing and one thing only, God Himself. You should not care what other people think about you. The one person you should try to impress and care what he thinks about you is God Himself. Amen. And so many of us care too much about what others think And we end up sacrificing what God thinks about us for the sake of what other people think about us. And we've got to stop doing it because not everything is necessary. And number two, what we've got to do is this: sacrifice the good to choose God. Sacrifice the good to choose God. And guys, this is so difficult, but we've got to learn how to do it to unscatter our hearts and to unscatter our schedules. Sacrifice the good to choose God. Jesus says, not everything's necessary, but there is one thing that is absolutely necessary. It's absolutely essential. Mary has chosen it. It's to spend time with Jesus. It's to know Jesus. Jesus describes eternal life, heaven, at one point in scripture as this is eternal life, to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. I mean, that's how you get to heaven. It's knowing Jesus. But that's also, like I said, you can accept Christ and know him and go to heaven and still miss out on all the joy and peace and love he has for the rest of your life and on his purpose for your life because you never spend any time with him. I mean, think about this. Martha was what we could call a Christian. She believed in Jesus. She invited him over to her house. She received Jesus into her home. You know, Jesus told a metaphor in scripture. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anybody opens the doors and let me in, I and the Father will make our home with them. And so a metaphor for salvation and receiving Christ is he comes to live with you. And so Martha has invited Jesus in, and yet she's too busy to spend any time with him. I wonder if anybody in this room has invited Jesus into their life and is too busy to spend any time with him. If you're too busy to spend time with Jesus, you're too busy. You know, whenever I meet somebody after not seeing them for a few weeks, you know, what's the question we always ask one another? Hey, how you been? How's it going? And I don't know about you, but I don't just say, oh, fine, because sometimes I'm not fine. And what I found myself saying a lot is this. Oh, I'm just busy, you know. And when we were trying to get into this facility in the weeks leading up to it in March, I was really busy. And listen, I'm not saying you should never have a busy season, because there will be seasons where you're just busy and you just got to pull up the bootstraps and you just got to get the work done and you got to get up early and you got to stay up late. You will have those seasons. And that was a season like that for me. But then we got into this facility and we had Easter. And so life calmed down a bit. And then I would see somebody, oh, how you been? And I'm like, well, geez, you know, my kid's playing baseball and I got four kids and a wife and you know, still doing the church thing and small groups on Wednesday. And I'm busy, you know? And so we're always going to be busy. We always will. But sometimes we have to choose what's most important. And you will have to sacrifice some of the good in order to choose God in your life. So let's talk about very, very practically, what does this look like? I think for every Christian, there should be two things that are just absolutely non-negotiable in your schedule, okay? Number one is daily time sitting at Jesus's feet. What does that mean? That means reading your Bible and praying. Daily time. Schedule it. If you don't schedule your schedule will schedule you. All right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Schedule it. I would recommend making it the first thing you do every day. First thing when you get up, say, Jesus, you're first. I'm going to spend time with you. Now, listen, I know some of you are really busy. You work 12-hour days. You're like, man, I've heard pastors say this and get up 20 minutes earlier. Dude, I can't get up 20 minutes earlier. With my kids and everything, I get like 5 hours of sleep, 4 hours of sleep. I can't. Listen, here's what I recommend you do. I recommended this to some of the guys in our small group, okay? There are different websites where you can sign up for a verse of the day. Every day at like 5 a.m. and you can set the time, they will email you a verse. And they're some of the most inspirational, life applicable verses in scripture. And so listen, if you're like me, you wake up to your cell phone, you hit it. And there are some days when the scattered starts immediately because I go, oh man, I got 3 emails already, you know, and I start reading them. And sometimes I answer them, you know, in bed. anybody, right? Like, oh, I'll just do it. And I'm like, what am I doing? You know, hold up. What if you open that email and the first thing you see is a scripture verse? It takes you 30 seconds to read it. And I'm telling you, the Bible says that the word of God is living and active. And I've heard some preachers explain that by saying the Bible is not a book that we read, but it's a book that reads us. You will be amazed if you do this, how many times you read that verse and you go, whoa, that speaks to exactly what I'm going through. Whoa, that speaks to exactly what I'm about to do today. And just think about that. What does that mean for my life? And then try this. Say a short little quick prayer. Jesus, you're Lord of my life. I give you my time. I give you my schedule today. I want to serve you. God, help me put this scripture into practice. Help me to experience your joy and peace. Help me to know you're with me. Take care of my wife and kids. Amen. That quick. You can make your drive to work your prayer closet. It's a great prayer closet. But you need to, it needs to be non-negotiable. Non-negotiable to spend time with Jesus in that way. Okay? I've heard some people say, I've done this, man. I'm telling you, I was excited one year. I was like, I'm reading Genesis to Revelation and I'm going all the way through and I'm doing it this year, January 1. It's going to be the best year of my life. I'm going to get so close to God. And Genesis was great. And then they're slowing down through Exodus and then they hit Leviticus. And it's just like, they're killing goats and I don't know what's happening. And the priests are wearing funny clothes. I don't even know what an ephod is. And so I'm out. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens, isn't it? And so there were so many mornings I just didn't get anything out of it. And let me ask you a question. When was that a great excuse in any other important relationship in your life? In the relationship with your spouse. You know, today, I just didn't get anything out of her. And so I'm out, you know, we're just not going to be married anymore, you know? Doesn't sound very good, okay? And so you need to spend time with Jesus. And listen, there are some days when I get up and I do my devotion, I'm like, that is weird. You know, there's some weird stuff in there. Whoa, what does that mean? I don't get it. But I'm telling you, there are days and I get up and I go, whoa, God is real. He just spoke to me. What is going on? You know what I'm saying? And you will miss out on that if you don't schedule it and make it a priority. So schedule it. It needs to be non-negotiable. And the second thing I would say should be non-negotiable in your life is church. Absolutely non-negotiable. I think that can look a few different ways. I think for most of us, what should absolutely be non-negotiable is Sunday morning church experience. I understand sometimes people have to work and all that. I get that. But sometimes we allow work to just crowd out everything. And the fact is, you know, I know some guys that work all the time to make more money because they can choose to work overtime. And they go through seasons working 7-12s and they just get worn down. And so what happens? Or people who work 6 days a week and Sunday's their only day off and they just go, you know what? It's my only day off. I need time to rest. I just can't do that. Can I tell you something? When you spend time with Jesus, you know the first thing he wants to give you? Rest. You know what he commends Mary for? Doing absolutely nothing and sitting at his feet. Did you know when he was creating a culture and a whole nation? This is unprecedented at that time in history. He said, and by the way, on the seventh day, you're going to do absolutely nothing. Do no regular work. I just want you to rest. But you know what they were supposed to do that day? Go to synagogue, which was their church, to hear about Jesus. Because the fact is, you can rest on your day off, but if you don't spend time with Jesus, then your soul won't be at peace. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and you will find rest for your soul. True rest is found in the presence of Jesus. And he wants to give you rest. Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm. And one of my favorite parts of that psalm is he makes us lie down. How many of you have problems with rest? I know I do. Right? I sit in front of a computer all day. And so on my day off, Saturday, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm outside mowing the grass and I'm doing all this stuff, you know? But man, sometimes you just got to be still and know that he is God and rest in his presence. He wants to give you rest. Make it non-negotiable. Make it non-negotiable. And I'll just add to that, the times when I've drifted from Jesus in my life and the times when I see people drifting from Jesus, you know what? You know where it starts usually? Drifting from Jesus's people. So it usually starts by, well, I'm just not going to go this week. Well, I'm just not going to go to small group this week. Well, I'm just not going to do, you know, this or that. I'm just not going to do that activity at church. I'm just going to stop serving right now because I'm busy. And we start drifting from the people of God, and then we wake up a year later and we're like, what happened? What happened? And there's been times in my faith where if it weren't for the people of God and the commitment of being there, I would have drifted. It's being here that refreshes me sometimes, okay? And so it needs to be absolutely non-negotiable, time with Jesus and time with Jesus's people. And some people say, especially in our culture, well, hey, I believe in Jesus and I spend time with him, me and him, go out in nature, but I just don't need the church. If the church was that negotiable, let me ask you a question. Then why did Jesus die for it? You know what I'm saying? The church is plan A. There is no plan B for the world, okay? It's our job to get the message out, and it's a team effort. And so it's got to be non-negotiable. Listen, that doesn't mean you have to come here. There are other churches. Maybe we're not the church for you or whatever. That's fine. But you need to have a Christian community that you're involved with on a regular basis. Sacrifice the good in order to spend time with God in your life, in order to make him a priority. And as I said before, we're busy and we're always going to be busy. And so we've got choices to make. And so how do we do this practically? What does it look like? Let me ask you this. What are some good things that you need to say no to so that you can start saying yes to God? Now, I just want to throw this list out here and listen, hear me. These are all good things. They're not bad. They're not sinful. But if they start taking the place of Jesus in our life, that's not good, okay? For example, and listen, I've struggled with all these, okay? Kids sports or music lessons, kids activities, all right? We got our son in kids baseball this year. He's 5 years old. It's the first time ever. And they're like, we're going to practice on Mondays and Wednesdays for an hour. We're like, okay, cool. And then the games hit. And so for the month of May, it's like Monday, Wednesday, and then one or two games every week. I mean, it is a lot. It's a lot. And listen, here's a axiom of your life, okay? It's just true. Whenever you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So when my wife and I were talking about kids baseball, and we knew Monday and Wednesday, 6 to 7 is the practice, and we said yes to that, we're saying no to anything else that takes place on Monday and Wednesday from 6 to 7. And so we had church small group Wednesday nights, but it was every other week. And so we were like, we're not going to sacrifice that. But on your group night, she can take him. And on my group night, she can take him. And on her group night, I can take him. And so we're like, okay, cool. We can do this. And so we said yes. But sometimes people allow that to just push everything else out. Okay? For the sake of the kids and for the sake of whatever. But man, don't allow the good to distract you from God in your life. What do you need to say no to? Maybe it's optional work. We all got to make a living. Maybe it's overtime. Maybe you work too much. You can work and make all the money in the world to provide for your family and to provide for your kids. But if you never spend any time with your kids, that's not good. And if work pushes out God in your life, that's not good. I know sometimes for me as a guy, it's hobbies with other guys a lot of times. Like I love to work out. And so I'm doing this Spartan race on May 31st, which is a crazy obstacle race. And it's taken a lot of time, you know. And if that were a regular thing in my life, I just don't think I could do it. And so if you're finding your hobbies are pushing God out of your life, it's time to reassess. It's time to reevaluate. And listen, these are all good things. And I would even say this. You need some of those things in your life. You really do. They can bring you rest. There's a reason recreation is spelled recreation. It helps recreate you. It helps fuel you. But man, don't let it push Jesus out of your life. Make him the number one priority in your schedule. Make time with him absolutely non-negotiable. And as you're deciding the other good things, make sure that you do not negotiate your time with Jesus. And so maybe what you need to do is what I did this week, or actually it's 2 weeks ago. because as I said, I drift and we drift as a family. And my wife and I sat down and we had a, what we call a business meeting. And we try to do this every week. Doesn't always happen. Maybe every other week, sometimes once a month. But we sit down and we go, okay, what's been going on? What do we have coming up? Let's compare schedules. Let's compare notes. Okay, we just made this much money. Where's that money going to go? We kind of adjust budgets. What do we have coming up that we have to purchase? And we'll talk about some of that next week. But that's all what we do in our business meeting so that we make sure what needs to be the priority is the priority. And so that we can honor God with all of our lives. And you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of New Year's. Because that's the type of thing people do at New Year's, right? New Year's. I'm going to change everything. I'm going to quit eating everything bad. And I'm going to eat really good. And I'm going to lose 50 pounds. I'm going to be the most in shape I've ever been. I'm going to read my Bible every day for 3 hours. It's going to be awesome. Best year ever. And statistically, we know that lasts for maybe 3 or 4 weeks. And if you're really committed, 2 or 3 months, which means that right about now is about the time that really committed people even are failing miserably. And you know what I thought about this week? What is January 1st? It's just a day. You know why it has significance? Because you're aware of where you're scattered in your life. You've thought about it and you sit down and go, I'm going to resolve to change some things to put first things first. And so I just want to encourage you, church, this morning with this. Tomorrow can be January 1st, May 11th. It's up to you. You can wake up tomorrow. You can go home after spending time with mom this afternoon. You can go home and have a business meeting. You can go home and sit down and go, what do I need to change? Because I haven't been spending time with Jesus. What do I need to change? How can I schedule? How can I make time with Jesus non-negotiable? What do I need to change? And you can write it out. Tomorrow can be January 1st if you want it to be. You just got to resolve to do it. And I want us to take this seriously because I think maybe some of us come to church and we hear a message like this and we go, okay, this is so like nuts and bolts. Like, man, give me something deep. Give me like a deep truth. Just astound me with who Jesus is, you know? I want to hear something deep. And listen, I love to preach the deep truths of God. I love to get deep in the Word of God. But you know what I've learned and I've experienced? I can preach some really deep stuff, but your faith will only go as deep as what you put into practice. And so if you want to get deep, go put this into practice and make time with Jesus absolutely non-negotiable this week. And just watch as it unscatters your heart and unscatters your schedules. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, God, we need your grace in this because we live in a country where there is so much good available to us, so many good opportunities, so many good things we can do, so many hobbies, so many TV shows. How do we watch them all? So many movies, so many kids' things. But God, we just pray for your grace and your conviction to make you the absolute number one priority in our lives. And God, give us the conviction to go home and do something about it, to unscatter our schedules and unscatter our hearts and start doing what you told Martha to do, to sit at your feet and to make the one thing that is necessary absolutely non-negotiable. God, we ask for your grace for the times when we fail at this, when we are just scattered. And God, we know your Holy Spirit covers that. And God, we thank you for that this morning. It's in Jesus' great mighty name we pray. Amen. Would you guys stand with us? We're going to do one last song today. And I just want to close by saying two things today. First of all, I just want to encourage some of the moms in here. Because what I know about moms is you've got so much to do and you play so many roles and you're putting so many hats on that you're just going to feel scattered a lot of the time. Because of your schedule, because of the way life is going. And what I've observed in my own wife and what I've observed in other moms that I've seen, especially in this church, is your schedules may be scattered, but somehow you find a way to make Jesus a priority for your kids. And I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you. And I just want to say keep up the good fight, moms. Because your life's going to be crazy when you're a mom, when those kids are in your house. Okay? It can feel scattered, but as long as you're making Jesus the priority, your kids will catch that and they'll get that, and you will instill the most important thing in them. And so I just want to say that to you, moms. I want to encourage you today, because I know so many of you just feel scattered so much of the time. And I want to encourage so many of you who are just doing an awesome job at making Jesus number one in your kids' lives. The second thing I want to say is this, that maybe if you're here this morning, and as I've talked, you realize that you don't even have a relationship with Christ. You don't even know Christ this morning. And so how can you make him number one, and how can you spend time with him if you don't even know him? And so if that's you this morning, I just want you to know that God loves you, and he sent his son Jesus to die for you on the cross to pay your price for sin so that you could know him, be reconciled to God, and spend eternity with him. And you can receive that free gift this morning. And all you have to do is confess his name as Lord and ask him to forgive you. And he will. And he will make you his child. And so I want to invite you to do that today if you've never done that. To just unscatter your heart and make Jesus Lord. I'll be right over here as we sing this last song. And you can come up and we can pray and talk about that together. And everybody else, let's sing this last song. It's a song about making Jesus number one in our lives. Okay, let's sing this out today.